creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky, they're all together ooky.
Infants on Thrones.
The house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really are a scream.
Infants on Thrones. Scared. Very scared. No, seriously, this is pretty scary.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on, we're gonna pay a call on.
Infants on Thrones.
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the core.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones, special Fear 2016 edition. I'm sorry, I won't do that anymore. Fear. You know, it seems like each October, we do one or two episodes on fear, or the devil, or things that are just evil.
Really evil. Like, so evil that you would say it was evil. Like it's the fruits of the devil. Evil.
And those have been fun episodes. And most of the things we've talked about on those episodes, I was about to say they're not real, but the fears are real. You know, people actually really feel them, and they really motivate people to action. And so maybe those fears are legitimate in some ways, but they're usually trumped-up fears like you would get from a snake oil salesman, you know, like we talked about in this episode.
Once upon a time, there was a traveling medicine man who had a cure for any problem you could possibly imagine. Everyone loved it when this medicine man came to town.
How wonderful to see your smiling faces again.
You're a wonderful sight. Those of you whom I can see.
I've never known such warmth, such welcome, such loving hospitality.
I've been bringing cures from Pilgrim Heights to Provincetown, treated rabbit fever down on Queen Anne Road.
We live in a very dangerous world.
We have come to the earth in troubled times.
Gout or gastritis, mumps or bronchitis, bites and burns and blue abrasions, got a pill for all occasions.
Jesus taught that baptism was necessary to enter the kingdom of God.
Wiped out impetigo on the banks of buttermilk.
We call upon the Lord, whose strength is mighty.
Blue is under firm control in powder hole.
To bring an end to the conflict, an end that will result in a better life.
I believe in the dark.
You've seen a miracle, and you'll see many more. People will come pouring in from land and sea. We'll have centers for testing. Let's start investing. Keep those dimes and dollars mounting. I'll do the counting.
By paying our tithing, the windows of heaven may be opened unto us.
Everyone who lives here will be strong and healthy. You'll be getting richer by the day.
One, two.
Or maybe they're fictional stories that someone made up all by themselves to try and manipulate someone else with fear, you know, sort of like we talked about in this episode.
It was a normal night, just like any other night. I was 16 years old, a priest in the Aaronic priesthood. In a few short years, I would become a missionary, venturing out to the front lines, a valiant soldier in the great cosmic war against Satan and his demon hordes. So I stripped down to my BVDs, knelt over my pillow, and offered up my nightly prayers. I said amen and turned on my radio. I liked listening to music as I fell asleep. K-Lite 98.7 FM, an embarrassing collection of soft rock ballads, so I'd be sung to sleep every night by the likes of Roberta Flack, Barry Manilow, or Kool and the Gang. And maybe it was nerdy, but it was also relaxing. But this night, something happened that I'll never forget. Something strange. Something dark. Something that showed me firsthand how very real the adversary can be. I was nearly asleep when a song started playing that just didn't belong on K-Lite. It was Highway to Hell by AC/DC. At first, I just tried to ignore it, but it kept getting louder and louder, so I reached over and I hit the snooze bar, and that would normally shut it off, but this time it didn't. So I hit it again and again, still nothing. So I sat up and I leaned over to reach for the dial and I turned it to make sure it was off. And it was, but the music still kept on playing. So I leaned over and strained to unplug the whole thing from the wall, and sure enough, the power shut off, but the song kept on playing. It was fainter than it had been, but it was still there. I could still hear it. And that was when I felt this tingle that starts up the back of your spine and just instantly fills your whole body. It was fear. Terrifying, paralyzing fear.
Or maybe they're irrational fears that we used to have, but we were able to overcome, like we talked about in this episode.
Snakes or any other creepy crawly things. It's just spiders. And intellectually, I'm totally on board with spiders. I know that they're vital to the local ecosystems and to the ecosystem of the world in general. They are the most prolific hunters on the planet. They provide a valuable food source to lots of animals, including especially birds. They're also amazing and diverse. They produce silk for their spider webs that pound for pound is stronger than steel and is even being researched to see if we can find a way to replicate it. And even their venom is being studied in the field of medicine for potential beneficial uses. And lastly, virtually all spider species are harmless to human beings. So why the irrational fear? The more I thought about it, the more it just came down to what I call the ick factor. I find spiders icky. The way they move, the way they look, it just sends an uncomfortable chill down my spine, and I just have to resist this urge to smash it as fast as I can. So even though intellectually, my rational brain can appreciate spiders and can actually respect spiders and for all they do, something inside me is disgusted and has a fear of spiders. And the more I thought about it, the more it started to remind me of another kind of phobia that I once had when I was a believer. And that phobia is homophobia.
Now, all of those trumped up fears, you know, they seem to have a bit more power over people's lives during this spooky time of the year, you know, when the days are getting shorter and the weather's getting colder and the leaves are falling off of the trees and witches ride through the night skies.
For the night is dark and full of terrors.
For the night is dark and full of terrors.
But none of those trumped up fears come even close to the trumped up fear I'm feeling right now. The fear that someone like this might be voted into the highest office in the land.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news, Sarah.
I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there, and she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, the Donald is good.
Whoa.
Oh, my man.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Hail to the chief, he's the chief and he needs hailing. He is the chief, so everybody hail like crazy. Hail to... That's more or less.
Yes, that's right, folks. I speak of the trumped-up fear of the Trumpocalypse, the impending Trumpocalypse, the potential Trumpocalypse. I'm absolutely terrified of Donald Trump becoming the president of our country. Or more accurately, I'm terrified of the people who are supporting this most terrifying of terrorist clowns.
Clowns are reportedly terrorizing a town in South Carolina. Police in Greenville County are creeped out after several claims of a clown or clowns trying to lure children into the woods. According to a police report, children told officers clowns had displayed large amounts of money. The children also said the clowns lived
in a van down by the river.
Now, you've got to be hiding under a rock over the past week not to be aware of what's going on. And maybe you're sick and tired of hearing about it already. But today, I want to briefly share with you a few things, because I'm seeing some conflicting indications of where Mormons fall on the Trump issue. On the one hand, the Deseret News called for Trump to step down, which was big news and a good thing, but they later clarified that it was a moral issue, editorial, and that it didn't come down from Mormon leaders. Oh, why not? Why hasn't it come down from Mormon leaders? Are you telling me that God hasn't told these prophets here on earth that a brash, above-the-law, misogynist con man isn't fit to be the president of his most favorite country in all the world? Well, okay, well, maybe God's got a type. But anyway, I'm seeing mixed signals about how Mormons respond to Trump. And so this crossed my Facebook feed the other day and just absolutely scared the shit out of me. Now, I'm not going to divulge any names here, but this is a post that was written by a Mormon woman who boldly stepped up and unabashedly positioned herself as a proud, out Trump supporter. She said, "Enough is enough. For the record, I am pro-Trump, and not by default because I'm anti-Hillary. I happen to agree with Trump's platform. Trump is my choice. I'm voting for someone, not against someone. And I'm disappointed and dismayed that so many Evan McMullen supporters are as self-righteous and mudslinging as they accuse Trump of being. But they go a step further by ridiculing and demeaning those of us who of our own free will and choosing actually like Trump's politics. Yes, we can like his platform of reformation and still not be so shallow as to judge him by his personality and past sins. He that cast the first stone. Evan supporters, with some exemplary exceptions, shame on you. You know better. Show some class. Your cause is just, but your belittling rhetoric destroys your credibility. Oh my, what have I just said? Let the games begin, but sometimes you just have to say it like it is." And so she did. She said it like it is for her, I guess. And then several of her supporters, friends, what do you call them? They commented on this thread. I'm not going to read all of them because there's a ton, but let me pick out a few gems here. "You hang in there, girl. As long as we live on earth, self-righteousness is abound. You can't argue principles of truth with anyone in this world. Satan won't allow it." Here's another one. "I sat in general conference today, and it's remarkable." Yeah, it is remarkable. "That the talks pertain right now to how he is being judged. People change, and if we don't believe that, then there is no atonement." I think they're onto something there. Here's another one. "Last night, my family had the opportunity to hear the Saints' unified voices with Gladys Knight. It was wonderful, and she is doing wonderful work for the church. In her life, she's had 4 marriages and a gambling addiction. The Lord rose up this imperfect woman, whom is greatly talented. Donald Trump is not a perfect man. He is talented in finance and building." Yeah, that's what he says. "He understands what is needed for the economy." Oh, whatever. "Unlike the rest of us, he has lived in a glass house and been in the public for many years. As being a Trump supporter, I have been attacked and deleted these..." as being a Trump supporter, I have been attacked and have deleted these self-righteous people. Wow, she just deleted people. Holy cow. I hope she found a good place to bury the bodies. Okay, and this last comment. The atonement is about people changing from who they were over 10 years ago. And no, the worst candidate for young girls and for women's future is the liberal socialist. Really? So the liberal socialist is worse than the pussy grabber. Okay, so this is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. But what it means is that Trump's lame apology actually worked.
I've never said I'm a perfect person, nor pretended to be someone that I'm not. I've said and done things I regret, and the words released today on this more than a decade-old video are one of them. Anyone who knows me knows these words don't reflect who I am. I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize. I've traveled the country talking about change for America, but my travels have also changed me. I've spent time with grieving mothers who've lost their children, laid off workers whose jobs have gone to other countries, and people from all walks of life who just want a better future. I have gotten to know the great people of our country, and I've been humbled.
Oh, shut up. Just shut up. How are people buying this? Oh, humbled. Ugh. See, this is not an apology. This is him saying, look, I did it. It was over a decade ago. I'm saying I'm sorry. So if you've still got a problem with it, look at all the good stuff that I'm doing. You're the one that's got the problem. And like victim blame. I mean, how do people not see this and just be repugnated by this guy? Is repugnated a word?
I don't think it means what you think it means.
There are Mormon women on Facebook that are okay with a man who would potentially treat their daughter this way.
Grab him by the pussy.
Now, in my book, that's a few Mormon women on Facebook, too many. But hey, it's a free country, right? And Hillary says that we should celebrate our diversity, right? Well, that sounds good. Maybe we should even respect them, or at least respect their right to deplorably support a deplorable man. Yeah, respect. Now, what does that actually look like again?
Hey, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Oh, shudder. So, what I want to read to you is my response indirectly to this Mormon woman on Facebook, who supports telling it like it is, unless, of course, that means calling her a deplorable person for supporting a deplorable man. But first, let's listen to this 59-year-old man from 11 years ago once again brag about his masculine, manly manliness.
She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, the Donald is good.
Whoa.
Oh, my man.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her.
Okay, so this was my response.
3, 4.
Let me tell you what I see when I watch and listen this newest smear Trump video. Leadership. An older, established, wealthy, popular, powerful, privileged, narcissistic white man, Big Dog Trump, starts feeding his ego off of the adulation from a younger, privileged white man, Little Dog, Billy Bush, using their tales of female sexual conquest as the standard by which to whip out and measure their own male awesomeness. All of the, ooh, look at that one. Mmm, nice legs. Yeah, I can do anything I want with these women. Give me a Tic Tac, because I may just start kissing them. And I desperately need a Tic Tac. Believe me, nobody goes through Tic Tacs like I do. This is essentially about two men seeking validation from each other through culturally learned and biologically instinctual behavior. It's guys being braggy and fake. It's immature, it's pathetic, and it's barbaric. Dehumanizing women, framing them as conquests to puff up their own inflated image of themselves, that is the value that Trump is emulating here. When Trump says that he can do anything he wants with women since he's famous, what is that anything? Is that listening to women? Is it encouraging them towards greater inclusion in a man-dominated world? Is it respecting them in any kind of way? Nope. It's grabbing them by the crotch. Sexy and classy, I know. Try to control yourselves, ladies. And getting away with it. It's his own justification to allow himself to do something that he knows is wrong and unwanted. But seeing them in a powerless position to do anything to stop him, well, that turns him on. That's what he wants. In a position where he could do anything, that is what he chooses to do. And that choice greatly influences the choices made by the other people around him. Leadership. And the truly tragic thing, and you'll have to help me out if I'm reading this wrong, is that when these two yahoos meet Ariane, and Billy Bush plays the inside joke of, oh, come on, give the Donald a hug card.
Sure. How about absolutely. A little hug for the Donald? He just got off the bus.
Like a little
okay,
hug, darling.
Absolutely. Melania said this was
Bushy.
Okay.
I just got off the bus.
Bushy.
There we go.
As if to say, yeah, me and the Donald, we've got an inside joke. We're tight like that. Now go put your Tic Tacs to good use, Big D. When this hug him thing happens, Ariane seems initially put off by it. But she's a woman who, like all women, has had to swim in this patriarchal, misogynistic suit for so long in her life that she knows what limited options she has, and she also knows what she can do to turn it to her advantage. So she plays along. Culturally acceptable learned behavior. So she walks in between them and takes their arms and tells them that she would date them both when asked such inappropriate and uncomfortable questions from this emboldened, obnoxious little dog Bush, who's really just trying to seem cool to big dog Donald.
Let the little guy in here.
Come on. Let the little guy in. How you feel now, brother? I should actually.
It's hard to walk next to a guy like this. Yeah, you get in the middle. There we go.
Good. That's better.
This is much better. This is.
That's better.
Now, if you had to choose, honestly, between one of us, me or the Donald.
I don't know. That's tough competition.
Right there.
Yeah. Seriously, you had to take one of us as a date.
You have to take a fifth on that one.
Really?
Yep. I'll take both.
This is how both Ariane and Billy Bush react to the tone that Trump initially set. Leadership. Now for a thought experiment. What if Donald Trump, a privileged white man, was also a man of inner confidence and integrity and consideration? How would Little Bush have responded to get validation from a man like that? How would Ariane have responded? Would any of them be selling out in any way or pandering to a brutish, ignorant jerk?
You have to take a fifth on that one.
Really?
Yep. I'll take both.
No, they would try to impress Trump by emulating what he clearly values, just like they did in this video from 2005. Leadership. To me, this recent unbelievable turn of events for this seemingly bulletproof ass clown.
Clowns are reportedly terrorizing a town in South Carolina.
Hey, maybe this is why those terrorist clowns are all the fearful rage right now. This illustrates the domino effect of leadership, and it provides just one more clear and present reason why Trump supporters should be ashamed of themselves. Trump has no political platform. He has no experience of making things better for people around them. He only has experience of defrauding and taking advantage of people for his own personal benefit. Avoid taxes much? That's what the Donald calls smart. It's called business, he says. So who is he going to dupe and defraud to make America great again? Is he going to cheat China?
China.
Mexico? Where will he turn to legally defraud the U.S.'s creditors? How does a guy like this get in the position that he's in? Society has failed. Now, if I don't speak out against this kind of behavior in both word and deed, then I have failed too. And to those of you who excuse this and try to cover up what an awful and deplorable man Trump clearly is because of Bill or Hillary or any other reason, congratulations.
I've got to use some Tic Tacs.
You have just made yourselves one of Donald's Tic Tacs. Right? Because you're covering up his stench. You know, you get it, right? Yeah, one of his Tic Tacs. So anyway, yeah, a very preachy minisode, but I'm just at my wit's end with this guy. I can't believe this is happening in our country right now, and I can't believe that Mormons, who should know better than to support a guy like this, are actually behind him and invoking things like the atonement as the reason why we should just forgive him and let him be what he is. I don't know. I think there's got to be something about the persecution complex that's part of Mormon culture, you know, feeling like it's us against the world. We get that message all of the time in General Conference, right? The world is this big, awful thing. It's like a conspiracy theory, and we're the only ones, the Mormons, that know what's really going on, that's really validated by God. And so we've got all this persecution complex built up, and Trump somehow triggers that because that's part of his way that he portrays himself, that everything's rigged against him, and, you know, people buy into that. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I'm just guessing. What do you guys think? And we got a web page with comments for him. What do you guys think? Comment on the website, comment on Facebook. Tell us what you think. Am I totally out in left field? What do we need to do? Is there anything that we can do? There's like, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks left before the election? And I'm probably preaching to the choir right now anyway, but man, this is the scariest fear episode that Infants on Thrones has ever done, and hopefully the scariest that we'll ever do. So in those things, I say this in the name of deplorable, irredeemable people. Amen to you.
This is Trent dwelling in the land of Mordor between two temples. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com, and if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones!
Infants on Thrones.